Praise the Lord. God bless you and welcome to Word Wednesday. Pastor Anthony will be teaching on tonight, and he will be right with us. So we're going to play a song, and then we will be right back with our teaching on tonight. I'm excited, so get ready for what God is going to release through Pastor Anthony on tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Amen. We give God praise tonight on this Word Wednesday. There's nobody like our Jesus, nobody like our God. We're here on this Word Wednesday to get into the Word of Almighty God in the name. We are celebrating and we are believing God by faith that the impossible will continue to unfold in our lives in the name of Jesus. Pastor Anthony is here, you are here, and we thank God for everyone that will call in and everyone that will be edified, educated, empowered, and strengthened on tonight in the name of Jesus. The Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will be here always. And we ought to study to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing God's word of truth. And that's what I want to talk about. We'll get into that later, but the topic that I want to share tonight is simply building for impact. Building for impact. And the reason I was going to start with the word, because there are many Christians that know the word. There are many believers who have been in church for sometimes many years. And there are many people who go to church a lot and possibly they pray a lot. Possibly they serve and do a lot of different things and activities. But we have seen throughout the scripture, throughout the word of God, how people have had great impact. In other words, they became significant. They had a great impartation into this world to make it a better place. And I don't know about you, but I want to, before I close my eyes and hear well done, I want to have great impact throughout my lifetime. I wish there was an amen somewhere. Hallelujah. Impact. In other words, to the ability to influence, the ability to change, the ability to alter. And that's what, if you know anything about the apostolic, prophetic, and the anointing, that's why God gives us these spiritual gifts, that we can have spiritual impact on this world. Even as we see the protests and lobbyists and different things happening, guess what? Legislation is being impacted. Policies are being changed. And things are happening. So much so in the spiritual and in the kingdom, God wants us to produce and have great impact in our lives as well. And that's my focal point of tonight. We talked last night briefly about holding on to hope and holding on to our faith. I believe when you think about faith and you think about hope, some people say it sounds like it's the same thing. But if I can break it down even further, I would say faith is the belief and hope is the expectation. I'm going to say that one more time. I know there are certain definitions where we can mix the two, but I believe faith is the belief, the trust, and hope is the expectation, the readiness, and the anticipation of what we're believing God for. So faith is that belief, and hope is that expectation. Hold on to your hope. Don't let nothing and no one take your hope away, because sometimes it comes down to that. You can't even call it strong faith. You can't call it small faith. But it's hope. You're hoping that things work out and things change. And that's a beautiful place to be. And tonight I want to start off looking at, continuing to look at Joseph just for a little while at the outset. And then I'm going to look at the life of David, as these two men had great impact on the kingdom of God and the covenants that God made with Abraham, David, and glory be to God of Abraham, David, and Moses. Start by looking at Psalm 127. I want to start there. And this is what we do when we come to Bible study. We involve God into what we're trying to accomplish and what we're trying to do. That's what prayer does. That's what John 15 is all about. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. I am the vine. You are the branches. And he said, every vine in me that bears fruit, I prune it, I purge it, so that it could bear more fruit. And every branch in me that departs from me, it will wither away and die, and it's not going to bear much fruit because it's disconnected from the vine. That's our lifeline. If we learn anything else from this coronavirus, once the breath is taken away, that ventilator, that respirator, these things cause us to breathe and allow that foreign and that natural oxygen to come back into our bodies to fill our lungs and keep us alive. But the body is designed to operate breathing oxygen and the carbon that needs to go out of our body, glory be to God, is one of those things that is breathed as we breathe that natural air. We know that when we disconnect from the things of God, sometimes the very breath, the very energy and excitement is taken away from us. This is one reason I've been in church the last 26 years of my life, because it adds so much energy to me, it adds so much hope to my life. And somebody I'm talking to understands what I'm talking about. Prayer and Bible study and church and being around the saints of God. In the world in which we live in, if we're going to build for impact, we need reinforcement. You know, I heard a preacher say last week, he said somebody asked him, do you believe once saved, always saved? And he said, I don't know. He said, but I am. In other words, he was saying, I don't know about anybody else, but once I got saved, I have always been saved, and I plan on dying saved. But he said, I don't believe once filled, always filled. Let me say that again. He said, I don't believe once filled, always filled. We have to have a refilling. We have to have a new gasoline, new wine, new oil you poured in. We have to have new revelation and new insight. We have to have, amen, new information poured into our spirit so that our spirit can be fed. And that's what he says in Psalm number 127. I'm going to start there. Psalm 127. This is one of the two psalms written by King Solomon. This is one of the two psalms written by King Solomon. And it's so powerful. We know that he was the wisest man to live before Jesus. And Solomon was so wise that the Bible says the Queen of Sheba came to glean from him and to learn from his wisdom. She was a queen. She was already smart. She was already intelligent. She was already wise, running and governing an entire nation. But she visited King Solomon to sit at his feet, to glean from his wisdom and to learn from him, Queen of Sheba. And then she sowed back into his life gold and silver, rubies and diamonds and pearls. She gave him great wealth. Solomon already had wealth, but the Queen of Sheba brought him even more wealth because of the wisdom that he deposited in her life. And as we talk about building for impact, listen to what Solomon says in Psalm number 127 about building. Whether it's our family, our marriage, our ministry, our children, our ministry, whatever it is we're trying to build, listen to these words written by King Solomon in Psalm 127. I'm reading the New Living Translation, the New Living Translation of the Bible. It says in verse number 1, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. It is useless for you to work so hard from early in the morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat. For God gives rest to his loved ones. Verse number 3 says, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hand. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame. Lost my place. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gate. When we talk about building for impact, this is a wonderful place to start. The King James says, unless I build a house, they that labor, labor in vain. Unless I watch over the city, they stay up late, and they stay up late in vain. God is saying, I want to build. I want to be the constructor. I want to be the developer. That's your life. That's your marriage. That's your ministry. That's your church. Amen. That's you building for impact. I have to be the one designing, building, orchestrating. You are the clay. I am the potter. I am molding and shaping you. Glory be to God. And what I'm conforming you to, that's way, in that way, you will have great impact on this world, on your family, in your marriage, in your community, and everywhere else. I'll never forget, glory be to God, when we were, let's go to this next scripture first before I say that and say that thought. Let's look at some of the things, and I just want to very quickly and very briefly go over some of the things I shared on Sunday when I talked about greater is coming. If you can go to Genesis chapter number 39. Genesis chapter number 39. We talked about Joseph having a dream. And Joseph's father favored him and gave him a coat of many colors. Come on. And God, when he favors you, this is my first point tonight that I really want to make. When God favors you and you have found that favor, you got to fight to keep that favor on you. When you have favor upon you, you are now responsible with fighting and doing what you need to do to keep that favor and that grace upon your life. So many people start out well, and that's what I was saying about people who have a lot of word, people who know a lot of scripture, people who can speak in other tongues. There are people, glory be to God, that can do a lot of spiritual things, but sometimes there's not a great impact. And God is saying, I'm waking the church up during this pandemic, during these protests. I want the church to be in the forefront, and I want the church to have a great impact or a greater impact on this world. And we're looking at the life of Joseph because some of the things I shared on Sunday about greater is coming, I said for greater to come better. For greater to come, we have to become better. Because God wants us to be ready for what he's about to give us so that we can maximize and that we can utilize what he wants to give us, glory be to God, to impact the kingdom. The Bible says the kingdom of God suffered violence, but the violent take it by force. As we look further at Joseph, Genesis 39, look at verse number 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt and to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, brought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down. Remember, I told you, Joseph's brothers and the Ishmaelites pulled him out of the pit. He was not taken to Egypt on his own will, but he was brought to Egypt. And I said on Sunday, sometimes we're wondering how we got where we are, especially if it's a negative situation or a negative place. But I feel the Holy Ghost. I reminded you on Sunday, God is going to, and God will bless you right where you are. Sometimes we think it's going to be in that comfortable place. We think it's going to be in that obvious place. We think it's going to be in that place where we feel comfortable. And sometimes God can bless us, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, in a rough place. He can bless us in the middle of a storm. Come on. God can bless us in the middle of a hardship. He can bless us when everything looks like it's going wrong and everything looks like it's going south. God can bless us, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, when everything is painful and everything is troublesome and everything looks like, glory be to God, is going from bad to worse. God can step in for the most shot time. and give you a blessing that will drown out and erase everything that seems to want to overwhelm you. That's the God that we, that's why sometimes you get a job and all of your worries, all of your cares, when that supervisor, that human resource department, you got that phone call that says you are hired, although all your bills is not yet paid. Although, glory be to God, hallelujah, you didn't start the job yet. You didn't even clock in and start the first day. But when you got hired, you were so happy. You were so rejoicing. You were so grateful. It made everything that looked bad, everything that was going bad, come on, somebody, everything, hallelujah, that in the name of Jesus looked like Murphy's Law was at work. But when you got hired, baby, woman of God, man of God, it made everything get back into the right perspective, back into the right place. And that's why you got to not allow your mountain trouble, the amount of bills you're in, the amount of trouble that you're in, never let that outweigh what God can do. My God. This is why they call us people of faith. When we look at the life of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the life of Joseph right here, I told you on Sunday, nowhere, if you read from Genesis 37 that I read from, all the way to the end of the book, Genesis chapter 50, it tells you about Joseph being sold into slavery, being put into prison when he was lied on by Potiphar's wife, Joseph being thrown into a pit by his brothers, because they was envious and jealous of him. Doesn't say anywhere in Scripture, and Moses wrote the book of Genesis with accuracy. It does not say that Joseph complained. But even in the midst of a dark place, Joseph has, I just believe he knew his dream was going to become a reality. I don't know who that's for right there. But some of you, this is why you keep coming to prayer. You keep coming to Bible study. You keep putting your mission forward. You keep putting one foot in front of the other. You keep pressing and pushing aside. You believe that God, and Pastor Rebecca talked about it last week, that God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it, and shall he not perform it? Amen. We're still looking at Genesis 39. Now we're in verse number 2. He's a slave, but look at verse number 2. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his what? Master, the Egyptian. He has a master who's an Egyptian or an oppressor who is a ruler and normally would rule with a strong and iron fist. But the Bible says the Lord was with Joseph. Look at verse number 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. And that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. I told you tonight, I'm talking about building for impact. Come on. Glory be to God. Joseph, he was thrown in a pit. Now he's a slave, and he's about to be thrown into prison. But God is building him for impact. The Bible says that his master, his taskmaster, the Egyptian master, saw the hand of the Lord on Joseph. There was a mercy. Come on, somebody. There was a power. There was an anointing. There was a certain oil. There was a certain, hallelujah, energy and power upon Joseph. And that's what God is saying to you tonight. It doesn't matter if you have not achieved it yet. It doesn't matter if you possess it yet. It does not matter if it has not manifested yet. If people see that oil on you, if people see that anointing on you, they'll glory be to God. I've seen a fire on my wife.
since Sunday and today. And on Tuesday, Pastor Rebecca has had a fire and it's been contagious. Oh, my God. She has had an energy. She has had a fervor. She has had a re-effusing, glory be to God, on her life, writing her book, promoting her book, doing her vision, going forward with ministry, going forward with power and authority in the name of Jesus. Because guess what? We see the hand of the Lord on our pastor. We see the prophetic word in her mouth. We see the zeal that she operates from in the name of Jesus. And glory be to God. It has spread on her husband in the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. It's on her church family in the name of Jesus. It's on her natural children. Oh, my God, who is God talking to tonight? You are built for impact. Oh, in the name of Jesus, can I get an amen on this prayer line tonight? You know you're built for impact. That's why although you did not receive it yet, although you did not have it yet, although you did not step into that wealth and that healing that God has promised you, you know all you on your life, the anointing on your life, the fire that's on your life. The Bible said this Egyptian, the reason he gave Joseph favor, the reason he put him in charge of his entire house, over his servants, over everybody except his wife. This, oh my God, are you hearing God? He is a slave. And he has been given authority over the rulers, over everything that this ruler owned. Joseph had authority over it. A slave. My God. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll let somebody judgment of us, what we work, where we work, what we do, where we live, what we make, what level of education we have. If we're not careful, we'll let this world and people and the voice of the naysayer define us and identify us more than the voice of God. And if you allow that to happen, you will not have this that we're talking about tonight. Your identity got to be in God. Joseph knew he was the God and serving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He knew his great-grandfather got a promise from God. And Pastor Rebecca talked last week about God is a promise-keeping God. He came to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, and he said, go to a place that I'm going to show you, and I'm going to bless those that bless you. I'm going to honor those that honor you, and I'm going to make you to be a blessing to many. And you're going to be the father of many nations. And Abraham, I'm going to promise you this because I'm going to swear to you by nobody but myself. And then we look at Isaac, who sowed in a famine, and he received a hundredfold. And then we look at Jacob, who got the blessing from his brother Esau. Even though he stole the blessing, he was now to become Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel, who will birth the 12 apostles, the 12 disciples. And God is a covenant-keeping, promise-keeping God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not going to stay here too long, because if you keep reading, Joseph was lied on by Potiphar's wife because she said, lie with me. Joseph ran, but she grabbed part of his garment, and when her husband came home, she lied and said, Joseph tried to rape me. Joseph tried to sleep with me. And Joseph, glory be to God, was thrown into prison by Potiphar, who had faith in this man of God. And even in the prison, I'm not going to read it. If you keep reading Genesis chapter 39, it says, but the Lord was with Joseph. And for you to have great impact on this world, impact on your family, great impact in your community, great impact in your church, you need the Lord to be with you. And if God be for you, there's no weapon that is formed against you that can defeat you. So although favor is on you, you got to fight to keep that favor on you. You got to fight with faith, and you got to fight for your family in the name of Jesus. Let's look at another scripture, 1 Samuel chapter number 18, because I really want to hammer home this point I'm trying to talk about tonight, looking at King David. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse number 1. Because sometimes when we change for the better, we're now doing positive things. We're making positive impact. We're making a positive change in the world, in our family. But we started by making a positive change with our own personal lives. We're doing good. We're living good. We're becoming men and women of integrity. We're serving God. We've changed for the better. And sometimes we think because of that, people will honor us and possibly leave us alone and possibly come and begin to help us or begin to believe in us. But on the contrary, sometimes when you're in the will of God, that's when you will face sometimes the greatest resistance, the greatest opposition, and the greatest attack. So here's a statement that I wrote down, and I want you to write it down. Anytime there is kingdom advancement, kingdom progress, and kingdom success, expect opposition, resistance, and demonic attack. Sometimes we want all the good stuff when we hear the gospel, rah, rah, go and get it. You know, and I get that, and that's the kind of ministry we have. We are natural exhorters. We are natural encouragers. Our job is to empower you. But sometimes the warfare has come to certain Christians, maybe not you on this line tonight, but sometimes the warfare has come, like in the life of Gideon. I might talk more about that on Sunday. But the warfare comes, and we wonder why all these things are happening to us. In the life of Naomi, her husband died, her sons died, but it was for a greater purpose. And she didn't realize that until she got back to Bethlehem, the place of blessing, the place of bread. Naomi just saw the bad. She saw the negative. She saw what was going wrong. Call me Naomi, because the Lord was with me. The Lord was blessing me. Now the Lord has dealt treacherously and tremendously bad with me. Don't even call me Naomi. And she was overwhelmed with the bad stuff, because Naomi didn't know yet that God was going to take her pain, come on, and turn it into pleasure. She didn't know that her pain had a purpose. She didn't know that her darkness was going to bring deliverance. Glory to God. And sometimes when we don't understand about spiritual war, fight not against flesh and blood, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, doing all you can do to stand until there's a principality, there's a power, there's wickedness in high places, there's governing spirits that's coming against the kingdom of God. But Jesus told his disciples, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. Come on, people of God. Look at this pandemic. Look at the pressure that we're under sometimes. I heard a news report, and I'm going to read Psalm 1 Samuel 118, but they said this up-and-coming fall is going to be so much competition. It's going to be so much traffic and congestion, so many gridlocks. As people begin to make their way back into society, come out of their homes, go looking for jobs again. These experts are saying, and they're predicting, there's going to be so many applications for one job. It's going to be so much gridlock as people get back into society. It's going to be so much congestion. And I'm here to tell you that sometimes if you are a Christian, if you are a man and woman of God, you have to put even a greater faith in your God in times like that than ever before. Because just like throughout the Bible, God said, I sent my prophet to one widow. I sent my prophet to one leper. All you need is God to be sent to you. Sometimes we can't worry about the masses, but we can get to a position where we can impact the masses. But God, and I said it on Sunday, God needs to preserve you first. That's when I talked about those preservatives. Sometimes we have to survive this pandemic. We have to survive these protests and this unrest with racism. Sometimes our main function right now is that of survival. And I said it on Sunday, sometimes we hurt, and then we got to be healed, and then we can help. We hurt, we heal, and then we help. There are some people who have not been totally healed, and they got to a position trying to pastor or help, but God says, no, sit, be healed, be poured into, become taught, become prepared, and then you get to the place where you become effective in helping. The reason I'm going to look at the life of David in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse number 1, David just killed Goliath, and people are honoring David. Saul gives David his daughter to marry. David plays the harp, and all of the evil spirits come out of King Saul. David slays Goliath with a sling and a stone. And the Philistines run, and the Israelite army is now re-energized, and now they are ready to fight. All be David in 1 Samuel chapter 18, 1 to 5, is still doing great things. Let's read verse 1. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking to Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. God will always send you people that are for you. They're not jealous of you. They're not envious of you. They're not hating on you. They're glad you're being promoted. They're glad you're succeeding. They're glad you're getting the victory. They're glad that God is using you. They are happy that you are changing. They are proud, and they are glad, and they are celebrating the fact that you're making wealth. They are not jealous. They are rooting and cheering you on. My God. That's what Jonathan was to David. The son of Saul, whose name was Jonathan, loved David. And David loved Jonathan. And God, it may not be the masses. You may not be popular. You may not have a great following. You may not be famous. But God will always send you people that honor you, people that respect you, people that love you for real, people that care about you with a sincere heart. God will always encourage your life with someone he has sent to be a blessing to you. They may be a blessing financially to you. They may be a blessing spiritually to you. And they may be a blessing emotionally to you. And that's what Jonathan was to David. Let's keep reading in verse number 2. And Saul took him that day and would not let him go no more home to his own father's house. Now, come on, because I'm going to keep reading. Saul is now loving on David. So much so, he said, you're not going back to your father Jesse's house and your brothers, but you're going to live in the palace. You're going to live in the kingdom. You are going to be my servant. You're going to play the harp for me. You're going to be my warrior. You're going to relocate and move into my palace. Verse number 3, and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of his robe that was upon him, and he gave it to David and his garment, even to his own sword and to his bow and to his girdle. And David went out. Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul, watch this, set him over the men. He put David over all of his men of the war. David is now the general of Saul's army. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servant. Man, I had to paint this picture. I know I spent a lot of time there, but I had to paint this picture because sometimes we wonder, the people that was for us in one season, why are they against us in another season? And we're going to keep reading, and sometimes we're going to understand why as I keep reading. But Saul is favoring David. Jonathan is favoring David. Jonathan knows that he's supposed to be the heir. He's supposed to be the successor to the kingdom. But he takes off his royal apparel and he gives it to David. He takes off his sword and he gives it to David. He knows that David is going to be the next king and not him. God already chosen David as king. Oh, my God. God is speaking to somebody tonight. I already chose you. I know they don't see it on you. I know they're not affirming you. I know they're not honoring you. I know they're not supporting and helping you. But I've already, my God, my God, my God, I already chose you. I'm going to establish you. It is my job to establish you. Let's keep reading and let's see and understand at a deeper level why sometimes there are people that have been for us in one season and now they did everything but become an enemy of ours in this season. Let's keep reading verse number 6. And it came to pass as they came, David has returned from slaughtering the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, and they had tambourines and joy and instruments of music. And the women, one to another, they played and they sang. And they said, Saul have slain 1,000, but David has slain tens of thousands. And Saul was very angry that they were saying, and displeased him. And they have ascribed to David tens of thousands, but they have ascribed to Saul only 1,000, and have more but the kingdom. He's thinking that now David is going to take over the kingdom because he's killing all of these people because the hand of the Lord is on David. David is a warrior. They're not giving Saul the credit, but they're giving David the credit. Let's keep reading. And Saul eyed David from that day forward. The Bible says that Saul had his eye on David from that thin line between love and hate. I was ready to bust out in a song, but I'm in Bible study. It is a thin line, very popular song, between love and hate. Glory be to God. That's a movie. It was a very popular song back in my day. But we see Saul, who was loving on David a few verses earlier,
Now the Bible says in verse number 9, just because the people, not David, David was faithful. David was loyal to Saul. David was committed to Saul. But Saul still saw David as an enemy instead of a son. Let's keep reading. And it came to pass on tomorrow that the evil spirit from God came on Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played at his hand. He played other times. In other words, David was still the harp player. Now he's playing the harp for Saul again, for these evil spirits to come off of Saul. But Saul now had a spear or a javelin in his hand. And Saul cast, or he threw the javelin, for he said, I will kill David, even to the wall with it. And David, he avoided the presence twice. In other words, Saul threw a spear or javelin at David twice, and David ducked out of the way, but Saul tried to kill David on two occasions. Verse number 12. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Now God is with David, but the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him the captain of 1,000, and he went out and came before the people. How we can figure out how some people was for us in one season, and then all of a sudden in another season, somehow we became their enemy. Jealousy and envy and coveting is a horrible, horrible emotional spirit. That's why the Ten Commandments said, don't be jealous, don't covet, don't envy your brothers, your neighbors. Don't do it. And we've seen it. David now becomes an enemy of Saul. Let's learn something deeper from this. 1 Samuel, verse 26. God is telling me to stay here a little while because I'm talking tonight about being built for impact. Being built for impact. And we're going to see David has the opportunity in 1 Samuel 26 to get rid of his enemy, Saul, to take matters into his own hands. But David said, no, I'm not going out like that. Vengeance belongs to my God. He belongs to me. And in 1 Samuel 26, verse 9, let's look at that. David did not get back at Saul, even though he could have killed him, even though he could have got rid of his problem. David said, no, my God going to deal with you. And that's what God is saying to somebody today. We're in a day where we're using that word haters too much. Don't focus on your haters. Don't focus on those trying to sabotage you. Don't focus on those trying to block your blessing. They're going to be there. It's inevitable. Everybody's not going to like you. Everybody is not for you. But it's not our job to put them in their place. It's not our job to take matters into our own hands. God is saying, give it to me. Cast your cares upon me because I care for you. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
Glory to you. Glory to
you. I lost track of time. I had to go get a clock off my mantle. I'm using Pastor Rebecca's phone, and I don't see a clock on here, but I got a few more minutes. And I want us to see this, how David was building for impact, and because he was building for impact, he didn't stoop to the level of Saul. Like Job, he did not lose his integrity. David had a way of doing things. Knew God had an order and a way of conducting his kingdom. and David did not violate the principles of God. 1 Samuel 26, verse number 9. And David said to Abisha, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David said, if I kill Saul, because his men wanted to kill him. If you read verse 1 to 8, Saul is in the cave. He's sleeping. His men are sleeping. His general, the captain of the army, is supposed to be watching over him. He's sleeping. And David's men are in the back of the cave, and Saul comes, glory be to God, in that cave, and they could have killed him. And David said, touch not the Lord's anointed. Verse number 10. And David said, furthermore, as the Lord lives, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. If you go to 2 Samuel chapter, I think it's 1 and 2, you see that the prophetic word out of David's mouth came to pass. That's just how Saul died in the midst of the battle. David said, no, it's not up to me to kill him. Either God going to take him out, he's going to come to his own demise, or he's going to be destroyed in battle. David gave a prophetic word in verse 10, and it came to pass. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but if you keep reading, David showed a little sarcasm in the latter part, and he mocked the general because he took the place of David over the army. David was a warrior. David was an excellent general. David was one that guarded Saul, his king, and would not let harm come to Saul. And now he got Saul's sword. He has a part of Saul's robe. And he's mocking the general of Saul's army, saying, if that would have happened to me, I would have been put to death. He said, you deserve death because you let me get that close to your king. So David knew as he was building and being built for impact that he could not take matters into his own hands. And that's what God is saying. During this pandemic, during this pressure, during these protests and the times in which we're living, we don't know when we're going to bounce back. We don't know when things are going to get back to normal. We don't know how big an impact this is going to be on our lives. But God said, never take matters into your own hands. I can't bless that. But I can bless it when you give it back to me. Amen. Woo! Time is getting away from me. But I want to end with a psalm tonight. Psalm number 34. We might as well close looking at the life of David. David writes a powerful psalm in Psalm number 34. It's amazing how David was so gifted, so talented, so anointed. He was so anointed, but Jesse didn't see it. His brothers didn't see it. His father didn't see it. So many didn't see it. And the Bible said God judges the heart while man judges the outward. And his brother Eliab looked like a king, but David was a king inside. And there's a king in you, man of God. There's a queen in you, woman of God. But I just want to read Psalm 34, and we're going to close with this. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all of my fears. They looked unto him, and they were lightened.
and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man and the woman that trust in him. So I'm going to close with that. Keep your trust in God. Keep praising God. And God will continue to build you for impact. He wants you to impact this world. He wants you to have a significant life. He wants you not to be insignificant, but significant. And if you keep attached to God, God will use you in a mighty way. Amen? To God be the glory. God is building for impact, and he wants you to continue to build for impact. We will see you on Sunday at our 12:30 service. Please sow a seed into the ministry. Those of you who are giving to this ministry, sow a seed into the ministry. We thank God for your faithful giving in Jesus' name. God bless you. Love you with the love of Jesus. Until next time, we will see you on Father's Day, Sunday at 12:30. God bless you. The men that you know, tell them to tune in on Sunday. Amen. To God be the glory. But just make sure you're there in Jesus' name. God bless. Love you. Good night.